You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Christmas in-between time. For some, it's a little bit of a slowdown time. Like Pastor Matt said, don't even know what day of the week it is sometimes. We try to keep up with the days of the week by what bowl games are on. That's the one thing that can keep us involved in the calendar. Our eating habits certainly get out of line. To the point to where we finally have to move that box of fudge or that box of cookies so that they're not quite as easily accessible to us. But there's also a time there where we do have some introspection opportunities. For some, it's a little bit of a slowdown. For some, it's a little bit of a busy time. Maybe even at work as you're trying to finish up business for the end of the year. We can have these thoughts of how many I've had, how many I have to come. We can begin to have thoughts of how do I get the most out of the ones that I have left? How do I get the most out of this? How do I get the most out of these years as I speedily see them moving by? In this whole mindset of how many I've had, how many I have left, here's a thought: how fast the months begin to roll by before we get to the next one. With the kids being in school again, ours are 12, 10, and 8. Makes it fun at Christmas. Makes it busy all the rest of the time. There's things that we have going on in January. There's things we had to talk about that are happening in February. There's things that we've already had to talk about happening in March. I don't know, maybe you think about tax deadline in April and all of a sudden you're getting pretty close to summer. We know summer flies by and all of a sudden we're preparing for the next Christmas. So we see, it feels like it just picks up pace and moves quicker and quicker and quicker as we go along. Starting with that in-between time, that time right after Christmas, what should we do with that time? I think about the wise men. We can take a hint from them. We look at Matthew chapter 2, and it says, now after Jesus was born, that would be after Christmas, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Maybe you've seen a Christmas card. Maybe you've seen it on a yard sign. Wise men still seek him. So that's one hint that we can take right after the bat. After Christmas, we seek Christ. We seek him. They go on to say, for we saw the star when it rose and have come to worship him. We have come to worship him. What do we do and I'll put it this way, in the days, the weeks, the months after Christmas, we worship him. What an awesome time of worship this morning. An amazing presence of the Holy Spirit. Man, week after week, we are experiencing his presence as we worship together. Let me say, that's awesome. That is powerful. And worship in his presence is a difference maker in life, okay? Cherish those times. Save them up, even as Mary did. But then we get asked this question from time to time. What are you going to do with your life? Our parents ask us at a young age. A lot of times it's because we've done something wrong. That means for me, I got asked that question a lot. What are you going to do with your life? Teachers. Maybe you had the same experience in classes as I did, to where an exasperated teacher would say, Philip Anthony, what are you going to do with your life? You can't always be a clown. You can't always be making light of everything. To which I would say, how come? What are you going to do with your life? It's a question that we're asked regularly. It moves on, maybe counselors, other instructors, maybe as we're dating. Maybe even once we're married, an exasperated spouse says, what are you going to do with your life? It's a real question. I would say, what are you going to do with life? What are you going to do with life? I would say, what about this coming year? We're right here at a point in time, in between Christmas and New Year's, and we have an opportunity to simply look ahead and say, what am I going to do with 2019? What am I going to do with my life? Now, let me say this. I'll say this because I think it's kind of humorous the way it was put to me. In between services, somebody came up to me and said, Well, Pastor Philip, when you walked up there this morning, I thought, well, I'm not going to need to take notes today. She said, not because it was you. She said, because I could see that this was going to be another New Year's type message. And I've heard them all. And I thought, I'm not going to need to take notes. She said, Pastor Philip, I ended up taking 2 pages of notes. She said, I really want to see some things happen in 2019. So don't tune out is the only reason that I say this. But what about this year? It can be a huge step in determining the outcome in the other question. What are you going to do with your life? This year could be an investment in the rest of your life. Maybe some things that you do this year will make a difference. I can tell you this, they will make a difference. Maybe they'll make a positive difference in what the rest of life looks like. This year you could develop plans. There's so many things that you could do. You could develop goals. You could develop new habits. These are things that could affect the rest of your life. But as we prepare to dig into this, let me say this. It's not just talk. It's not just self-improvement. It's not just some self-help situation to where I can better myself or attend some seminar and get some things in place. We're talking about change. We're talking about an embrace of God's plan for change. What are we talking about here is even we go into change and what needs to change. When we talk about embracing God's plan for change. His plan, know this, is that you know His Son, okay? Let's start right there. God's plan is that you know His Son, that you be like His Son, and that you enjoy Him for all eternity. For all eternity. Okay, understand this. We can talk about, I'm going to do this when I get to heaven, we're going to do this. There's going to be a main attraction, and it's going to be Jesus Christ, and we'll have the opportunity to enjoy that relationship for eternity. And even know this, anything that hinders that plan isn't part of God's intentions for your life. Anything that would keep you from knowing Him, being like Him, and then moving to that place where we enjoy Him for eternity, we know it's not part of God's intention. In other words, God wants you and He wants to change you. Pastor Fred talks about that. We're not just looking for a better life. We're looking for a changed life. And through that changed life, we get to experience the good things of Christ. So change is possible. Maybe some of you would say, of course it's possible. Of course change is possible. Let me tell you though. Just a week and a half, a couple of weeks ago in Celebrate Recovery, we heard a testimony from a young lady. Amazing change of life. But she was sitting in a jail. She had a little daughter that she couldn't care for because she couldn't stop with a chemical addiction. And she said, I sat there in jail and I thought, this is just who I am. This is who I was created to be and this is my lot in life and this is how it's going to be. Somebody introduced her to the Island Church. Somebody introduced her to Christian Life Church. And she met a person that had been an alcoholic and God had changed their life. And through that, she came to know Christ and came to experience a changed life. So that she said, you know what, I still struggled some for that first year. But things were different. I had a relationship with Christ. So that's His desire. But here's what we have to understand and here's what we have to believe, that Jesus is the only pathway to everlasting change and eternal life, okay? He is the solution. We needed a Savior. He said, I'll come be that Savior. Again, that's what Christmas is all about. All through December, we heard Pastor Fred focus on and teach and develop this truth that nothing is impossible with God. Do you think change is impossible in your life? It's not. Anything is impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. The God that we serve, He's not limited by the things that limit us and hold us back. With God, all things are possible. So what does that look like? What does embracing God's change look like? Let's look at a few practical things, okay? No great depth here, except as we look at Scripture and see the depth of insight that Scripture offers as we look at a few of these things, okay? I grew up in church hearing a phrase, a truth, over and over again, and it kind of went hand in hand. And I'll go ahead and tell you, this is our first 2 points. It went like this: feed the Spirit, starve the flesh. Feed the Spirit, starve the flesh. If I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. Feed the Spirit, starve the flesh. So our first thought is this: we need to, as we move into 2019, put plans in place, put things in place that will allow us to feed the Spirit. You say, but wait a second. You don't give food to the Spirit. That's the whole point. We have a physical body that we feed. Scripture says that there's a spiritual nutrition that has to take place with our spirit as well. And if we don't even have an understanding that that has to take place, there's not a lot of chance that we're feeding the Spirit, right? So what does it mean to feed the Spirit? Here's one. We pray for discernment. We pray for discernment. Listen to this. The power to resist sin, okay? The power to resist sin, and with that, Satan's deceptions about sin. We want to put that in there too. Satan is a deceiver. If I were to ask you, hey, do you think it's a good idea to sin? Do you want to go sin today? Chances are you're going to recognize and say, no, that would not be a good thing. Satan's a deceiver. Satan tricks us, puts us, manipulates us into places where we are tempted, okay? And we don't like to say it, but he's good at what he does, and he's been doing it for thousands of years. So he's well practiced at it. So we pray for discernment, that power to resist sin and Satan's deceptions. It begins with discernment. Listen, pray for the Holy Spirit to renew your mind every day. Scripture says that our mind should be renewed every day. So we pray for the Holy Spirit to renew our mind every day, empowering us to think about the situations that we face from God's perspectives. You hearing me? There are situations that we're going to encounter. There are things that we are going to be involved in. We're limited in our appreciation of those things. We're limited in our scope of how we're going to address those things and how those things are going to impact us. God is not limited. So we begin to pray for discernment to see things from his point of view. Know this, there are plenty of times where we're trying to say something, maybe to encourage someone, and they take our words the wrong way. Maybe the timing was off. Maybe the verbiage was off. So we pray, Lord, help me in this area. There are times when we enter into a relationship for a good reason, a good cause, while the enemy's there thinking he's going to use that relationship for something completely different, for something that will bring us into a bad place, into a bad spot. So when we look at those situations from God's perspective, we can make wise decisions about them instead of limited decisions. Study the Bible so its truths will seep deep into your soul. And then you can bring those relevant verses back to memory whenever you face a temptation or a need. Hey, one of the things I appreciate so much about our pastor is how he's able to take a scripture that maybe we've heard 10, 15, 20 times, and he's able to bring a truth out that many of us have never noticed before. And it's applicable in our everyday life to make a difference, to shine a new light on some things so that we don't fall into those same traps. So we pray for discernment. Here's a second point of feeding the Spirit. Listen to this. Evaluate and adjust your life if God's commands seem out of touch to you. Yeah. If God's commands seem antiquated, if they seem irrelevant, if they seem like maybe we've evolved as a culture, we hear this, we've evolved as a culture beyond those things, beyond those antiquated principles. I've heard these things. I've heard these things quoted on talk shows. I've seen them in writing. What, that old book? You're going to look to that old book for advice? Culture would say that we've moved beyond it, that we have a better way of doing things, and they leave there to be no standard except for whatever the latest opinion would be that comes across the screen or comes across the radio waves. If God's commands seem out of touch with your experiences in the real world, maybe you need to evaluate and adjust those experiences. Remember that the evil side of the spiritual world always undermines Scripture. All the way back to the garden, the very first man, very first woman, what did Satan say to him? Did he really say that? Does it really say that? Is that really what he meant? Is that really what? Should you really be expected to deny yourself that thing that you want so badly, that you've earned, that you deserve? Evil is always going to undermine Scripture. It's always going to try to undermine God's biblical commands. If he can get you to doubt the relevancy of his words, he can seduce you with sin. Know this, his end game is not a little bit won't hurt, okay? His end game is not, oh, you know what, it's been a while, I've worked hard, I deserve this, it's been a trying week, I deserve, nobody pays me any attention, nobody appreciates me, so I deserve this, a little bit won't hurt. That's not his end game. Scripture tells us that the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. It doesn't say the enemy comes to get you to enjoy a little bit of sin because it won't hurt you too badly. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And culture wants to say, oh, this is okay. You were born this way. Pat on the back, this is okay. When here's what we see. It's going to lead to a life of emptiness, a life of disease, a life of death. That's the enemy's plan for you. So we can get back on track if we've fallen out of line with Scripture by adjusting and evaluating a few things. First of all, your priorities. What are your priorities? Moving into 2009, in light of moving into simply a new year, what are my priorities? How do I prioritize my time? Do I spend too much time on some things that are otherwise good? Pastor Fred pointed that out to us several weeks ago. Man, focus on children is a great thing until we lift them above and make them idols. Work the same way. Here's another one, your money. What are my priorities with my money? Is it me, me, me? I? And then our energy, our efforts, what we're putting our efforts to. Here's the other thing we can evaluate and adjust, our influences. The people around you that you listen to, where are you getting your instruction? Is it all this self-help again? Or are we listening to people who are basing their counsel on biblical principles? If not, adjust to that. And then, of course, your direction. The course your life is taking is based on the many day-to-day decisions that you make. And know this, those decisions are either going to take you a little bit closer to Christ, or they're going to pull you a little bit further away from Christ. These are just everyday decisions, you say? Yes. Day-to-day decisions. We can get deceived and think that life in Christ, life by the Holy Spirit, is the big decisions that we have to make. And we should lean on Him and spend effort and time and prayer and fasting on those big decisions. But on those day-to-day small decisions, we have the availability of Almighty God. We have the availability of Christ to turn to and look to for direction in even these smaller decisions. that can make a day-to-day small difference in where we stand in our relationship with Christ. So that's an aspect of feeding the Spirit. The converse of it, starving the flesh. Well, what are we talking about when we say starve the flesh? Well, we know that there's some practical things, but I would say this. What about this? Admit just how dupable you are. Admit just how easily we are to be duped into doing something that we would have otherwise said, I'd never do that. I love to look at the example of Cain and Abel. A week before, if you had asked Cain, are you going to kill your brother? Oh, no. We played football together. Well, I don't guess they played football together. We played basketball together. Well, we threw rocks at each other growing out up in the fields. But what did sin do? Sin deceives. It causes us to do things that we never thought we would do. What am I talking about? It causes us to steal from those close to us so that we can support a certain habit. Now that's an easy, that's a low-hanging fruit. But you can walk it through. It causes us to lie and manipulate those that we loved and cared for. It causes separation not only from Christ, which is huge, but separation from at times our children, our spouses. Does sin seem like a good idea to you at certain times? Stop and ask God to show you just how easily you can be deceived by sin. Consider those times when you've been tempted by sin. Consider the environments in which you get tempted by sin, okay? Maybe it's the same place. Maybe it's the same timing. Maybe there's a certain time of day, a certain time of the week that you seem to be a little bit more easily deceived than others. And make some adjustments. Make some changes. Be aware and celebrate recovery. We talk about the verse where he says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us put off the sin that so easily entangles. We talk about this. For many of us there, when that verse alludes to the sin that so easily entangles, there's a sin that pops into our mind. There's something specific that tends to come up over and over and over again. And maybe there'll be these periods of time where we're able to move on, but still there's this lingering in the background. So maybe there's some changes that we need to make, some environment changes, some who we're around changes at certain times so that we don't continue to experience those things, okay? Here's another one as we starve the flesh. Don't ignore God's warnings about sin. Sin may seem harmless for a while. Again, that mindset of, oh, this isn't too bad. Oh, just a little bit won't hurt. But sooner or later, sin will always destroy you if you don't heed God's warnings about it. I come back to this. That's Satan's plan. To destroy, to steal, kill, and destroy. You physically, you spiritually, the relationships that are meaningful in your life, he would love to see those destroyed. So what do? We don't ignore God's warnings. In 2019, we look to God and look to his warnings. They're clear and they are specific. And Solomon warned in the book of Proverbs that people can't make excuses that God hasn't warned them about the dangerous consequences of sin. So whenever you sense that Holy Spirit warning you, convicting you, examine yourself honestly and turn from that sin. Oh, man, if it were just that simple, Pastor Philip. We put these things in place because it's what God has instructed us to do. And so many times we turn away from those simple solutions because they just seem too simple, don't they? But he's given them to us for a reason. He's given them to us. Here's the last one of these on starving the flesh. We choose repentance over sin management. Sin management, what's that? We talk about wealth management. managing those resources that God has put in place, being a good steward with those things. We talk about health management. We talk about time management. It's an important aspect of life, time management. For some of us, we talk about anger management, what we're going to do with that anger. Again, we just came through Christmas. We got the chance to experience that in parking lots and on roadways and for some, in department stores, when there was only one gift left of that certain kind, and we had the opportunity to put into place some anger management. You can't try to manage ongoing sin in your life without damaging your relationship with God. We try to manage sin. Again, we try to keep a little bit there. A little bit's not going to hurt. I can handle this. That classic aspect of insanity, of doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. In Celebrate Recovery, we talk about practically, what does that look like? It looks like this. It's going to be different this time. I'm going to be able to control it this time. Maybe all the other 12, 15, 20 times in life, you haven't been able to control, but all of a sudden, you're going to be able to control it. Nobody's going to find out. It's going to be okay. Sin management. Choosing a lifestyle of sin management over repentance means that you've pledged your allegiance to sin rather than God. And God wants your allegiance wholeheartedly pledged to Him. He pledged His allegiance wholeheartedly to you. Why would He expect anything different from you? He gave His very life. Again, born as a Savior. Why was He born? To die. So that He could rise again, defeating sin, hell, and the grave. Confess your sin to God. Turn things over to God. Make it a serious aspect of life. Don't try to minimize. Try to maximize what it's going to do in your life. See that end game for what it really is, okay? John 15, 1 through 5 gives us the overall aspect of what it looks like to feed the spirit and starve the flesh. He says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because the word I have spoken to you. Now here we go. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Are you hearing this? Is this putting a picture? You're abiding in Him. He's abiding in you. This isn't a compartmentalized relationship that we take out and we use whenever something big's going on or when it's convenient to us. This is an abiding, an ongoing, living relationship. Nothing is impossible with God. For God, nothing is impossible. Again, we've looked at the depth of it. We've looked at the history of it. We've looked at how Mary was able to immediately look to that truth. Here's the postscript, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. With God, all things are possible. Without God, nothing is possible. It's through that abiding, centralized relationship. Him at the center of everything. Okay? I had great youth pastors growing up. Two of the youth pastors I think of are missionaries, one in Nepal. He was with us just a few months ago, just an amazing. And even back as a youth pastor, such a humble, such a servant. Another one of my youth pastors ended up as a director of Latin American Child Care. It's an organization that we've done tens of trips with. And they go and they build these schools in these poverty-stricken areas of Latin America. And then alongside of it, they build a church. And you have families in these, again, the poorest of the poor areas. They're struggling to feed their kids. Their kids aren't able to get an education. They build the school and they educate them, they feed them, they put clothes on them. And as a parent, you're saying, why? And so we see lives changed and communities changed. I can remember one of these youth pastors sharing a story with us as a youth group. And it was about two dogs, two wolves. And the story goes, it was an old Indian story. And an Indian chief was talking to a young boy. And he said, inside of me, there's two dogs that are battling. He said, and one of these dogs is a good dog. And he's full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. He said, but this other dog, this other wolf that's in me, bad dog. And he's full of jealousy and rage and anger and selfishness. And the little boy looked at him and he said, well, chief, which dog is going to win? Which dog is going to come out? The chief had said, these dogs are always fighting each other. He said, which one's going to win? And the chief looked at him and he said, the one that I feed the most is always going to win. What are you nourishing in your life? What are you putting nourishment to? What are you feeding? Are you feeding the spirit? Are you starving the flesh? Here's another one. We lean in on Christ. We lean in on Christ. We fill our lives with the things of God. Paul, as he taught Timothy and was discipling Timothy, he would share with him these insights. And at one point, Paul tells young Timothy what to follow after. And he's essentially calling Timothy to replace sin with these other things that produce spiritual growth in our lives. Again, understand this. There's a forsaking that is necessary to be cleansed for God's use, but also a following after the right things. There are some things in our lives that simply need to go away. They need to no longer be a part of where we go or what we do or who we're with. And man, that seems like such a big thing. But what are we doing with our lives? What are we doing with 2019 as it's an investment in the rest of our lives? We talk about this abiding relationship. We talk about this Christ at the center of everything, and every decision, everything in life comes out of that relationship. And as we encounter things moving into 2019, we make this decision, this commitment, that in every decision, not only am I going to say, what would Jesus do? And I love that. How is this going to impact my relationship with Christ? I have this decision to make. How's it going to impact my relationship with Christ? Hey, I've got this new job opportunity. What do we think about? Well, how much are they going to pay me? Well, what are the benefits going to be? What about this? How is it going to impact my relationship with Christ? Might be some negative. I move on from that. Might be great. It might create new opportunities for influence. How does it affect my relationship with Christ in everything? It's going to either move us closer to Him, or chances are it's going to pull us back if we haven't evaluated that. It's important to remember it's not a hierarchy of, you know, God first, then family, then church. That's what I was taught. Better picture is that graphic wagon wheel, where there's a hub in Christ, where the energy in a wagon wheel, all the energy is focused to that hub. And Christ is at the center, and family and church and work, all these things flow out of this healthy, growing, maturing relationship with Christ. We got to finish up. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. So today let me ask you, would you describe yourself? Could you describe yourself as someone who feeds the Spirit? Could you describe yourself as someone who leans on Christ, who looks to him in every situation? We know this, New Year's, it's just a place and time. It doesn't have to happen at New Year's. It's simply a time when we tend to stop as humans. Maybe it's learned behavior. We simply stop and we evaluate some things. And we do things like New Year's resolutions, whether they have to do with our health, whether they have to do with our money management. But what an appropriate time to look and say, what will I change in 2019 so that I can grow in Christ? So that I can experience this new life in Christ. We refer to Solomon. He finishes it up. He had the resources to do it all. I mentioned that one of the studies I looked at this week was Solomon, how to learn from Solomon, the wisest fool in the Bible. Given all this wisdom, and yet for the most part used it to mess up even his own life. But he comes down to this in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and he says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind.